and a very, very warm welcome. This is Straight from the Heart, and I'm Juliana, coming to you straight from my heart with love, compassion, and peace. Guest for tonight's show is the incredible cetacean and ET researcher and communicator, visionary filmmaker, writer, artist, shaman, speaker, psychologist, and environmentalist, the extremely multifaceted June Ocean. June and Jean-Luc Pozzoli, her friend and a great multimedia artist, founded the Dolphin Connection in 1984, which explores the advancement of human consciousness, biophysics, and spirituality through encouraging friendships between people and ocean swimming dolphins and whales. June has led dolphin communications workshops and has swam with the dolphins and whales all around the globe. June also does much research into and has continuing experiences with extraterrestrial societies from this and other dimensions, from Sasquatch to our star sisters and brothers and beyond. Listeners, dear souls, the call-in lines will be closed for the first half hour of the show tonight, so June can share some very incredible information with us all. We will open the call lines for the second half hour of the show so you can ask June any questions you care to ask her. Hey, June, a warm welcome. Great to have you on the show tonight.
Thanks so much, Juliana. It's great to be here.
Are you ready?
I am. You've put in a big order there. We're going to talk about my research and communication with dolphins and whales in the ocean and the star nations in the sky and then the wise ones who live on terra firma.
Definitely.
So I'm ready to go, and I think it's interesting to think where to start. When I look back, I think all my life I've been aware of my connection to the star people. Maybe I wasn't always aware of it when I was younger, but when I look back now, I can see that they were always a part of my life. And like so many others who are listening to this radio program, I always felt a little different. I didn't feel the same as the other kids my age. I always felt kind of older and more like an observer sometimes on planet Earth.
Sometimes
but I continue.
You feel like you fit in?
Excuse me?
Sometimes we felt like we just didn't even fit in.
Exactly, yeah. Mm-hmm. We just felt like we were different and it was okay, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I know I've had that connection for a long time and it seems very important. And I quickly learned that people who care about dolphins and whales also have that connection, that they, most of those people eventually realize they are also star people. So it's all related, and that's what's led me from one field of research to another with great enthusiasm. So I've been swimming with the dolphins and whales for 2 decades now. And, of course, I live in Hawaii, and this is a great place to be with them because the water is mostly calm, and they're here year-round, so it's perfect. And the cetaceans, both dolphins and whales, have made it clear that they want to take us beyond our 5 senses and into our 6th and 7th senses. And, of course, this is something we can do. We have all the body, mind, and soul capacities to expand into multiple realities that are beautiful and fulfilling. So this is what they are playing with us, working with us to do. And these advanced capabilities will give us access to the things the dolphins and whales have, such as telepathy, superseeing, invisibility, time travel, fields of refined frequencies of light, where many other civilizations reside. We can go to those places and we can have contact. So this has been very fascinating to me. I'm always interested in expanding and growing and learning more. I'm very aware always, as we all are, that this physical body we know of is just a small part of who we really are. There's so much more to us than that. We expand out into the cosmos. So this is my interest always, to learn more about it. And once we do acknowledge that we are ultra-dimensional, that's when we can really help humanity. That's when we can help the Earth. So I think for me, that's why it's so important to have that contact with the dolphins and whales. Because, you know, everybody just loves them. I get on an airplane, if I bring up the subject of dolphins with a stranger, the people start talking to me, you know, they're so interested in dolphins. And Flipper, I think the dolphin Flipper did a good job. A lot of good PR for the dolphins. So, you know, and what are they really teaching us? I think the most important thing of all, that all of this, these changes and this expansion is about, it's really all about elevating our consciousness. We've got to, you know, we have to elevate our consciousness in order to help the planet. So how do we do that? Of course, we elevate our consciousness through expressing love and compassion and truth and doing as best we can to live in harmony and expressing gratitude and all of those positive feelings and frequencies that we put out. And then we move into higher levels of consciousness. And so, like the dolphins, the more we swim with them and swim in the ocean, we begin to behave like them and to learn from them. And so we learn to use telepathy, where there are no more secrets. And, you know, that was one of the first messages, really, that the dolphins gave me. They said, we will come to a time where there are no more secrets. And I said, oh, right, you know. I just couldn't imagine it. And that was before there was internet and email. But they were right. It's so essential. And when you begin to communicate with them and other light beings with telepathy, then everything is known. And there's no more secrets. Now, when the dolphins communicate with me, they'll send me information from the cells of their body to the cells of my body. All of our cells have intelligence. It's not just up there in the brain. And I receive their information. It comes to me as a feeling in my body, and then I can translate it. I'm kind of the person who has to translate it into words, one of many. That's kind of my job, to take the information that they're giving me holographically and make it in a way that people can understand it as I write my books, as I put it in my books. So they send it to me that way, but then sometimes I can't quite understand what they're communicating. I'm not getting it. It's a brand new concept. And then they will send it through acoustic imagery. And that, of course, is they send me sounds that contain pictures. And so this picture comes right into my awareness, and I see what they're communicating. And it's like an aha experience. Now I know what it is. For example, back in the 80s, they had told me there were 5 types of energy on planet Earth that the human race is not yet using, and that's readily available. So then they proceeded to send me information about those 5 things. So one was hydrogen, They said the way it's used by our sun, with the waste product being water. And another had to do with anti-gravity. And another was about cold fusion. And another one, which was the most powerful one of all that's readily available to people on Earth and not being used, that the dolphins know about very well and use very well themselves, is pod mind or group mind. They said that is the greatest power there is, that if we all get together with common intentions and love, we can create whatever we want on this planet. We have to be united. And then the fifth one they sent me, I couldn't really understand what it was. And the image they sent me looked to me like bubbles, looked like a dolphin diving through a whole lot of bubbles. And so I'm still researching that one. Of late, I gave a talk at a conference about orbs. So now I'm wondering if maybe they were talking about orbs. But anyway, that is the way they send information to me. First, the information will come into the cells of my body, and then secondarily, images if I need that. Then also, with their frequency, they're doing a lot of healing with sound, and they're teaching us that. I do seminars now. I facilitate seminars about how to heal with sound. It's phenomenal. We take tests on people. We do voice imprints of people before they swim with the dolphins, and then take another voice imprint after the swimming and look at the difference, how much more balanced they are, and how they begin to have every note in the scale as compared to initially they may have been weak in some and out of balance or lacking in the note of G or A or B altogether. So it's a very interesting research project. And, of course, always with the dolphins, it's lots of fun, too. And they are natural balancers. They know the right sounds to make. They scan the body of the swimmers in the water. They see exactly what you need. They can see if there's any energy blocks or any injuries or any emotional or spiritual blocks. And they will zap you. They will send the correct frequency to you. And so often people experience that as great happiness and great bliss. And many times people in my seminars will begin to cry. It's such a wonderful release. You know, and often the feeling of coming home, because you've come home to yourself, you know, the fullness of who you are. So we do a lot with listening to their sounds and then trying to mimic them, and they encourage us to mimic them. For instance, one of the dolphins was my sound professor. His name was Lumpy. And he would swim alongside me, right next to me. Now I'm talking about the Hawaiian spinner dolphins here. And he would make a sound, and then I would do my best to imitate it. And then he would swim a little further away. I could still see him. He'd make the sound again, and I'd imitate him again. And then he would go further away, and I could barely see him, and I couldn't catch up to him, and I'm swimming along, and I'd hear his sound off in the distance, and I'd imitate it as best I could. And finally, he'd swim so far away, and I couldn't hear a thing anymore. I'd listen and listen and listen, and I couldn't hear him. And then in a minute, he'd be back alongside me again, and he'd start all over. He'd make a sound, and I'd make a sound. He'd go ahead and go ahead. And in this way, he was training me, because eventually I could hear his sound from further and further away. Wow. And I could differentiate it between his sound and other dolphin sounds, between the sound of the fish, the sound of the lobsters, the sound of the waves on the boat, on the hydrophones. I could differentiate different sounds in the ocean. So often I feel that the dolphins are doing research on humans, you know. That's why I call it participatory research, because we're both participating together. I feel that also that when we elevate our consciousness, we will be able to enter invisible, what we call invisible realms. So many places and meeting so many beings that we cannot see with our 3D eyes. And yet they exist there. It's been shown, science has revealed, that only 9% of our universe is made up of physical matter. Only 9% has form. The other 91% is invisible to us, and yet it exists. It's there. So I'm curious about that. I want to know about all that area that we can't see, but that we often can feel, that we get sensations of. And some people can see it. Some people are clairvoyant, and they can see it, and they can hear it. So I feel the dolphins know about those places, and myself and many of the other people who live here. There's about 300 of us who have all moved here to be with the pods of hundreds of dolphins, have experienced the dolphins disappearing on occasion. You'll see them, and then they're gone. And so right away you try to rationalize and say, well, you know, they must have turned around, they swam off real fast the other way, you know, they dove so deep. And, you know, maybe that's true sometimes. But over the years, over and over again, you'll see them coming right at you, and then they're gone. And I think they're purposely demonstrating to us how they can do that. And they're saying, you, humans, can also experience this. So that's very intriguing to me. And another important part, I think, about being with them is about the love. You know, there's so much love around them, and you kind of want to emanate love and heal the earth and bring light to the earth. And they're doing that. You know, their example, everyone enjoys being with them. They're so joyful. They leap out of the ocean. They're so connected to their families. They love their babies. They live simply. They don't need material belongings, and yet they have everything they need. And so we like to be with them as much as we can in the ocean, to learn from them, to be as loving as they are. So it's interesting that, you know, as right now as I am talking, and here I am at my home in Hawaii on the Big Island, there is a starship coming in right now as I'm talking. It's distracting me a little, I have to admit. And this may sound strange.
Where are you?
I'm on the Big Island. I'm up on the mountain about 2,200 feet up from the ocean.
Are you
out there? There's this big white circular-like plasma ship, this mist. No, I'm inside, but you know, we have all windows here in Hawaii, sliding glass doors, and I can see it coming in. Now, this has happened before, but usually it indicates something important is going on.
Beam me up, Scotty.
Yeah, really. If I cut off or something, I'll call you back tomorrow. Or, you know. But I just thought I should mention it, because it's pretty interesting, because this often happens before I'm planning a Star Nation or ET seminar, contact seminar with people, and they start to come in and share information with me to share with the people. So this is quite an amazing one that's coming up in June next month. It's called Dolphins and Andromedans. And the Andromedan people, they are very, very interested in assisting the Earth right now. They're very benevolent, very loving. And many of us are related to them at some level. Some aspect of ourselves is related to them. And they have asked, and I've really never said this to anyone before. I haven't gone public with it, so to speak. But about a year ago, they asked if they could have a healing clinic, so to speak, over my ranch house. So I said, well, what is that, you know? And it was just that they keep it in place there in the etheric, and then if people are open to it, they will do healing on people, you know, on all levels, emotional, physical, of course, and spiritual. So I just sat with that for a year, and now they've asked, and I've agreed to do a seminar on that subject, and people are enrolled who are like nurses or interested in healing. And we'll all come together, and they've given me the whole program of preparation so that people can begin to really receive the energies coming from their contact with us first, getting used to it, being able to to visualize and see what's happening on the ship, and then eventually being able to go up together as a group. We will be in a circle and go onto it and see the healing processes happening, and they are going to teach us about healing. So this is, I'm looking forward to it. It's exciting for me, too, and that'll be happening in June here at the ranch. So I don't know if that relates to why they're here right now, but it's like they wanted me to mention that. Excuse me?
Do you still see that ship?
Yep, it's right here. I'm looking at it right now. Yeah. And it's what's so interesting is it brings a mist with it, you know, and it's kind of like looks like it's going to rain. But if you leave the road, I'm about a mile up from the road. If you go down, there's no sign of anything down there. It's a clear evening and, you know, nothing that looks like white or cloud or mist or anything down below.
Can you communicate with them and see what they have for us?
Well, they are what I got. That they are here for is they wanted me not to forget to mention that that they are going to be here to work with people if anyone was interested in coming in June to Hawaii.
Very cool.
So I should take a picture. I have a picture on my website of the cloud ships, you know, the Arcturians that I also am in contact with. They have said that their spaceships are, they're a higher density, and so the consistency is like our clouds, more like a cloud. It's not like a hard metal ship like our airplanes are. It's different. So they have said that often they will be above us, and there will be cloud-looking shape around them, you know, the lenticular clouds that are cloud ships. And they said whenever you see one of those in the sky, just say hi and, you know, acknowledge their presence, and they'll beam a ray of light to you.
Are they usually the ones that come and heal us when we are healed by the beings?
Yes, they do a lot of healing. Most of the time, people are being healed often by their guides and by spiritual beings. And then we have the Star Nation people. So there's different ones that do healing. You know, there's the angelic realms and the ascended masters, and many of them are very available for that right now, not only to heal us, ourselves, but to teach us, to prepare us to be able to heal others. Because for what's coming ahead, there'll be a need for a lot of healing. So, yes, you know, they're all doing it as far as I know, and people have their own way of making contact, which is great, you know. And these are the Andromedans in particular. So I have since found that there are many places like this that have these healing clinics hovering above people's apartments or homes or place of business even with permission. So
what are they saying to you about what's coming ahead as far as, you know, what people are talking about, earth changes, pole shifts, all this different kind of stuff. Are they giving you any information on this?
Well, yes, they make it kind of experiential in that I think these things are coming, but the big teaching about that is how do we perceive it and understand it? Because, you know, if you watch the news or TV or all the reports, you can go into a place of fear. You can get afraid what's going to happen, how many people are going to be hurt or lost, and things such as that. But what I understand is these changes are going to occur, but many, many of us, all of the people who are working to spiritually evolve, will not be negatively affected. And we were shown that recently, last October here in Hawaii, there was a big earthquake right off this island. We don't, you know, there's always little ones happening here, but, you know, nothing major. But there was a big one last October. And the whole island shook, and it went all around the world. People were phoning, are you all right, are you all right? And do you know that not one person was hurt, not even hurt at all? And it was a 6.5 level earthquake, you know, that's how strong it was.
Right.
So what we're being shown is these things are going to happen. The Earth is going to make these adjustments. But there's no reason to view it as something dangerous or negative. In fact, it's best if you don't start putting out that image or idea of what it is, you know? To really stay positive about what you're here for, why you came, and how we'll be going through this together. And it's not a negative thing. But
right.
It does need help, you know? People need to work on it, and that's what I feel good about that's happened with the dolphins. I mean, people love dolphins, and they come to swim with the dolphins, and because they love dolphins so much, they then protect the dolphins by making sure their ocean environment is safe for them, you know, putting an end to the fishing nets and trying to stop the military use of low-frequency sonar and
absolutely
trying to
horrible,
stop...
Yeah.
Oh, gosh, and trying to stop, you know, the dolphins from being used as military weapons and trained to injure swimmers and things such as that. People who love dolphins start to care about the ocean. If they protect the ocean, well, that's where more than 50% of our oxygen comes from. So if we can save the ocean, we can save the people. And if we can save the people, we can save the Earth. So I really recommend people to swim with dolphins. I wish everyone in the world could swim with them and whales, too.
What's happening with those whales? And I was reading about the mama whale or the baby whale that's there in Sacramento, as well as there's some in the river there in California.
Is it recent, or you mean it was last year? Or?
No, recently, as we speak, it's a mama whale. Off the coast there in Sacramento, and then there's two whales supposedly in the river there in Sacramento. They said I've been reading about it. They weren't even quite sure how they got into the river, but were trying to get the mama and the baby to leave for the last couple of days, and they were using some kind of sounds to try and get them to go back out to sea, and they're pretty much just parked there.
Right, yes. It's interesting because a number of whales have been coming into that river from time to time. And when I tuned in to ask about it, they said they were the ambassadors that, again, raising people's awareness of the whales and their presence in the ocean. You know, sometimes people look out at the ocean, all you see is this blue water, you think nothing's there.
Right.
And, you know, it's been used as a dumping ground for nuclear waste and all other kinds of garbage and all. And yet it's the home of the dolphins and whales. So, yes, they were in the Thames River in England, and they were in India, and they were off San Francisco, and they've been in many different places recently, just letting people know, look, we're here, we live in the ocean, remember us, you know, care about us. And, you know, it creates a sensation. I mean, the news covers it, and people all go to sea, and they do a good job. It's very helpful. So, yeah, they're not going to leave.
Do they beach themselves?
Excuse me, what about beaching?
When the whales beach themselves, is that what they're doing to get closer to humans and get their message across?
Yes, many people ask me about the beachings, and so, of course, I asked the whales and dolphins about it, and it seemed there were a few things going on. I mean, of course, they can sometimes get a parasite in their brain that's very painful, that interferes with their ability to navigate, and if one dolphin or one whale is sick and dying, interestingly, they will sometimes head for shore, and if one of the pod heads for shore, then the others will go with them and escort them. And what they have explained is that their love for each other is much greater than any concern about death or a fear of death. They don't see death that way. They see it as just passing on to another physical body or not, you know, as they choose. So their choice to be together comes first. But then also there is the matter of bringing compassion up in certain areas that need it around the planet. And as they beach themselves and the community comes out to try to save them and to try to get them back into the ocean, and the boats come and the people, and they're all cooperating. And this level of support and help, cooperation, is very important and helps bring up that level of compassion in that part of the planet. So, although, as I said, sometimes they're hurt or injured or ill, there's also this other level. They'll work together on these matters to bring up more love on planet Earth. And they're really here helping us in so many ways. Yeah.
What can we do, June, to help the dolphins and the whales more than we're doing right now? Is there something you can suggest?
Well, you know, yes, there really are things you can do. My work with them was really about communicating and the heart-centered work and encouraging people to get to know them and learn from them and perhaps change their lives because of it. And I was not into the political aspect of it. I couldn't do both. I felt I had to be in the one area just fully, at least for the first 2 decades of my work with them. And so I really appreciated the environmentalists and all they were doing to help dolphins and whales too. And we would write to each other and keep in touch with each other and support each other, but I wasn't really an environmentalist as such, you know. But now the time has come when we have to say stop and we have to say no, you can't do this. So I have joined a lawsuit against the U.S. Navy for killing dolphins and whales. And I encourage people to support this organization that's doing that. They're so helpful in court because sometimes it has to be done through the courts, you know. And this is the Natural Resources group. It's Natural Resource. They're a group of lawyers, and they are able to litigate in court, and we've had amazing successes in stopping the U.S. Navy from killing dolphins and whales. And, you know, most of the whales and all the dolphins, when they get injured or when they're hit with this sonar, they sink to the bottom. They die on the bottom, and nobody even knows it.
Oh, my God.
So there's huge numbers of them dying, and it just breaks my heart. Here in Hawaii, we finally got out in boats ourselves. The big Navy ship was here, and we got out in a little boat, and we decided that we would go in the water and die with the whales and the dolphins. It sounds dramatic, but, you know, we love them so much. And we thought, if they're going to die, we're going to die with them. So we hoped it wouldn't come to that. But to protect the humpback whales during their birthing season, we brought our boat alongside the Navy boat, and then we radioed them, and then we said, we are now putting swimmers in the water. We are now putting swimmers in the water. And then I went in, a few other people, we all went in the water and stayed there so that if they were deploying that very lethal sonar, it would affect us. And I didn't think the Navy really wanted to kill people, and so they had to shut it off. And when they did shut it off, and then we would stay in the water, and then finally we were kind of cold because it was February, and we'd get back on the boat for a while. And then with our hydrophones, we could hear when they'd start up again, and we would again radio them. We are now putting swimmers in the water. See, we notified them, so they couldn't say they didn't know that we were in the water. We always called them first and told them on the radio. Then we went in the water again. We did that every day for the entire month of February, and they finally left. They could not succeed here, and they haven't been back. Well, then they went to Kauai and, of course, along the California coast. And now the California Coastal Commission has joined the lawsuit against the Navy. So that's a very good thing. Yeah. Natural Resources Defense Council. Sorry, I was missing the name. Natural Resources Defense Council, if people want to join them or contribute, that's really a big help.
Okay.
So, and you know, just teaching people about the value of dolphins and whales, you know, they really help balance things in the ocean. And in people, they're really essential, as all parts of the life forms on Earth are. They're all interactive. It's an entire ecosystem that needs every one of us. So...
What have you learned, June, about the Sasquatch? And for the listeners that are not familiar with what a Sasquatch is, could you give them a little idea what we're talking about? Because Sasquatch is, to some people, is like, what's that?
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's what it was to me, too. I did not believe in them. I didn't think they were real. And certainly as a scientist, I have my degrees in science. I wanted proof, and I just thought maybe there was one wild ape kind of running all around the world and people were occasionally sighting it. I mean, that was all I thought of it. I had no interest in them at all until I was camping in the woods and I saw one. And when you see one, it changes you very quickly. And all of a sudden I realized, oh my goodness, they are really real and they are really here. And they are very advanced in that they can keep themselves quite hidden from the human race for as long as they want to. And so what happened to me is they gifted me with a sighting. They let me see them. And I do have a story on my website about my first meeting them. And I actually had contact with a group that called themselves the Wise Ones. They didn't call themselves the Sasquatch. Now, they're a little different than the Sasquatch, and I meet with both now. I go regularly into a retreat space in the woods. It's not on Hawaii. It's on the mainland. And now they have given me permission to bring small groups of very sensitive people that I pick to meet with them. And again, it's so similar to the teachings of the dolphins, because these Sasquatch are able to dematerialize, or at least make you think they have. They can do something that makes you not see them all of a sudden. They're there and then they're not there. How exactly they do that, I don't know. They can observe us unseen by us. They know our thoughts. They can track our location. And they communicate telepathically. They also have a language, like an Ogham language, that they speak among themselves, but they prefer telepathy. They can project their sounds, and they can replicate your voice, your own voice. It's like you hear yourself from a distance talking to you. They can sing beautiful melodies, like high-pitched sounds, and I'm not sure if it's just the females that do this or if they all can do this. It sounds kind of eerie in the dark, dark woods at night. They can teleport objects. They'll do it to let you know they're there. So, and suddenly a rock will fall out of the sky, just appear and fall straight down, never hurting you, of course, but next to you. And you'll see it come down. You'll say, where did that come from? They'll place objects near you without your being able to see them. You don't see the wise ones there at all. And then all of a sudden, there is a piece of paper all folded up with symbols on it, a message on it. Now, these particular ones that I've met, and it's a family of 33, they learned to write from their grandmother, who learned it perhaps from the First Nation people or missionaries. I'm not sure where she learned it, but she has passed it down. So I mostly interact with the medicine woman of the group. And she has a six-year-old brother. He also is learning to write. He can write. The elder of the group, he does mostly writing in sign language. He has given me a lot of symbols and signs. I have some of them on the website, and I think I've come close to translating what he's saying now. And a lot of it is about bringing, he would like me to bring their knowledge and their information from them as we go dreamwalking together, and they give me this information and bring it to the human race. So they're ready for that to happen now with the right people. As you know, there are many hunters out there trying to kill them, trying to shoot them or catch them and put them in a cage just to prove that they exist. But, you know, I have come to know them and love them. They're very gentle. They're tall, 6.5 to 7.5 feet tall, and hairy, except for their faces.
Where did they come from?
Well, They come from, they have shown me, at least the chief or the leader, the elder, whose name is Pushoma, has shown me that he is from the area around Orion's Belt. He drew me a picture of that as his point of origin. So they said that at the time of the last ice age, they were as evolved then as we are now. So that was about 12,000 years ago. So they're much more evolved now than we are. They live in underground facilities. It's not caves, because they took me there in a dream walk. It's some kind of, you go into this room and it lights up almost like a photosynthesis, or some way the heat from your body creates this light in this underground facilities. They do have contact with the star people, and they travel with them very easily. I have many notes from them, and they also do a lot with rocks. I have right here sitting with me right now a big rock that the medicine woman, she had a friend who lives near them in the forest, a friend who's a human friend. She asked, she put on this rock, this is for a water woman. That's what they call me. They call me water woman. And they gave this rock, and my friend mailed it to me with their note. And this rock is a communication rock. When it has a lot of little crystals in it, it's a quartz rock and quite heavy. Well, it's about 7 pounds weight. And when I hold it, as I am now, and I talk to it, I can make contact with the medicine woman. And what's so interesting is I am learning to communicate through the rocks and the way she's teaching me. And she is, in turn, will answer my communication by writing me a note. So she answers my way, and I'm trying to learn her way. And I one night, for example, I was sad because I hadn't had a chance to go visit them for a while, and I was missing them, and I had wanted to go, and so many things in my life kind of took precedence, and I couldn't go to the mainland to be with them. I was feeling sad, and I was holding her rock and saying, oh, you know, I wish I could be with you, and I can't go now, and now the cold weather's coming, and I won't be able to come till the spring, and I was having a little bit of a pity party, you know, feeling sorry for myself. And all of a sudden, a message came back from my friend who lives near her. She said, you know, the medicine woman left you a note, and she said, don't be sad, don't be sad. So my friend who was emailing me this note said, why are you sad, Joan? She said, you're sad, you know. So she had picked up my feelings, and she said, you can come in the spring, and we will be here, and we will take you to meet our shaman, Birdman. We will take you to see stick riding on the big rocks. We will take you to this valley where the portal is. And what was the other area they were going to take me to? Oh, to see the place where their bones lay upon the land.
And so when you go there to where they are, they actually come out and you get to communicate with them? Or do they just communicate with you telepathically without showing you themselves?
Yes, mostly it is through telepathy, because they have said they don't want their picture taken. They let me have one picture of them. But they really, you know, they have to be so careful, because people are trying to capture them, and they can be hurt. You know, if someone sneaks up behind them, they can be shot over and over again. They can be killed. Then if that happens, they said they take the bones and the body back into the third world, as they call it, the third world. They don't leave them around, so people don't find their bones that much. But they have to be so careful, and the fact that they're allowing me to have this communication and to bring, you know, certain chosen people is so unique. And I think it's a sign of what's happening now, you know, dolphins, whales, star people, these wise ones, and the Sasquatch, because I meet with the both types of these people. They are Sasquatch people. They're not apes at all. It's because they know that it's time now. It's either do or die kind of a thing, you know. We need to learn to use telepathy. We need to gain the wisdom of these different beings and be open to learn it and stop putting it down, or stop saying it's our imagination, or stop saying it's a hoax, or, you know, people are crazy.
Stop We're crazy to believe in it.
Yeah, we've got to get beyond that, you know?
It's time to raise the vibration and the consciousness of the world.
Exactly, yes. So I hope everyone will look at my website and read the three stories I have on there of three of my experiences with the... I put Joan meets Sasquatch is what I called it because people know that word the best. But it is about the wise ones, and they are here in every state in the United States. In Hawaii, they're just on Maui and Kauai. They're not, unfortunately, on the island I'm at. One time I asked them, I talked into the talking rock that they gave me, and I said, could you come here and write a note for me over here in Hawaii? But then they wrote back a note that was mailed to me by my friend, and they always use red ink, a red magic marker. And they said, we cannot come to place where sun go down too far. So I don't know if they thought I wanted them to swim across the Pacific Ocean. But apparently when they dematerialize, they can only dematerialize for a couple of hours, or if they stayed out of the physical body too long, they may not be able to come back, or something like that happens from what I understand. So they can
do any message tonight, June, with the smell showing up there in Hawaii with you around the time I was calling you, and then around the time you were calling me, the same thing happened here.
Oh, isn't that something? Well, you know, I wasn't going to talk about them tonight. I mean, dolphins, whales, star people is enough, I thought. And they wanted, you were right. You were right. They wanted me to talk about them. And yeah, it was so strange because they can use infrasound. They can use it and put frequencies of love all around you. You're immersed in this beautiful vibration of harmony. But they also can use it to, like, scare away hunters, you know, or to make bad smells when they want to. So they never harm anyone. They're very, very gentle, gentle people. But they will use odors. And yeah, I was just in, all of a sudden in my house here on a big island, this terrible smell was coming up. And I thought, what is this? Is this a skunk? You know, we don't really have them up here in this
same
spot.
Thing. Same
and then
here.
You said the same thing.
Right. As soon as I started to call you, this... the smell was here. As soon as I got in contact with you and talked to you, the smell went away.
Yeah. Isn't it something? And see, they know that, like, the human race understands that. You know, the researchers and the scientists and all, they always say, when they're around, there's a bad smell, they say, you know. So that's why the ancient ones or the wise ones will use that, because they say this is something the human race understands. So... yeah, that was pretty amazing.
They'll all come out and show themselves to the humans. Or, you know, I can't blame them for hiding, because humans, if they don't know what it is, they're going to kill it or experiment on it or do something horrible. So I can't blame them for hiding. But do you think the day will ever come, June, where they'll come out and communicate with us, help us? Because
well, I hope so. You know, just like with the dolphins, they want us to go beyond the five senses. I mean, we all want to see them and shake hands and hug them or whatever, but they really want us to develop our telepathy. That's where most everything is happening, at that level. So, you know, it wouldn't serve us too much if they were just here walking all around. They want to encourage us to evolve. And I think they will, you know, just like with the dolphins at one time. Nobody paid attention to dolphins much, you know, and now they're very visible, and now people are saving the ocean because of it. So hopefully, eventually, people will realize that the Sasquatch, the Bigfoot, the wise ones inhabit all of our deeply forested and swampy areas, and we've got to protect those areas for their sake, if not for our own sake. So I think that is their hope, that their homes will be saved if the human race starts to acknowledge them as here in the woods, and that they are these beings with so much wisdom to share with us. It's phenomenal. It's very exciting to me, as you can tell, to have found them at this late point in my life, you know, really.
What would you tell someone, Joan, how would you talk to someone if someone said to you, oh, there's no such thing as a Sasquatch, and How? What would you say if they said, prove it?
Well, I have many things here I can show. You know, gifts they've given me. They gave me, they had the little people carve me a little image of a bird, the Thunderbird, and I have a lot of notes from them. Huh?
I saw that on your website.
Oh, right. Yes, yes. So I personally have a lot of things like that. But, you know, I'm not really interested in trying to convince people they exist. This is a story. This is information and a contact for the people who believe. Because what happened is there's so many people I've found out now who have had contact with them already but never told anyone, you know? It's amazing how many people have had contact. And these are the people coming forward now, glad to have a chance to talk about it openly with someone who understands that these are very intelligent, highly evolved beings who share this planet with us right on the Earth. And so those are the people that I really am interested in meeting with, you know. And then, you know, little by little, the word will get out and more people will begin to understand it and know about it, just like what's happened with the Star Nations and the extraterrestrials, you know. That's the way it kind of works. First you get those that have a connection to begin to talk about it and bring it forward.
Yeah, there's so much going on that people are afraid to talk about, that they've had the experiences, but they don't want anyone to know about what's going on because they don't want to be labeled as crazy. And they're waiting.
Yeah.
So many people are waiting on this first contact thing. And when I hear they're waiting on this, I have to laugh because first contact has been here forever.
That's right.
You still realize it.
Yes, that's right. Exactly. We are in the midst of it right now. We're also in the midst of Earth changes right now, you know? And
right.
We're doing fine, you know?
Yes.
We are. So, yeah, that's such a good point. That's so true.
Well, my dear June, why don't you give the listeners your websites, any of your contact information you got there, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to give them the call-in numbers and see if there's anybody out there that wants to call in and ask you any questions, and if nobody calls in, we'll just keep on going for a little while longer.
Oh, okay. Yeah, oh, I forgot about that. That's right. We were going to do that, huh? But the top of the hour, I thought. Oh.
Yeah.
Yes, well, let me just say a little, just say my website address then. My website address is my name, so it's just www.joanocean.com. It's very simple, and on there is my stories and pictures and books. I have a second website, which is www.etfriends.com. That's the second one, of course, more focused on the star people than on the dolphins and whales. And I would love, if people are interested in dolphins and whales, they might be interested in reading my books. I have two books. You can get them at Amazon.com. I have the book Dolphins Into the Future. And then my first book is Dolphin Connection. And I have other things here, too, but those are the main things you'd probably be interested in. So I hope you will look at the website, and then if you'd like to be on my mailing list and receive my brochure of events that I'm offering and places that I'll be, just email me your address, your mailing address, because I still send mail out to people's houses, and we will send you a brochure.
How about workshops? You have some workshops coming up, any conferences, anything like that?
Oh, yes, yes. Well, I have the one I mentioned that will be next month, which is called Dolphins and Andromedans, and that's about the healing clinic above the house and our interaction with it. And then I have Swimming with Humpback Whales in the South Pacific for 3 weeks. That's very special. I have a special permit that I can bring people to do that. And then I go to the Bahamas and swim with the spotted dolphins there. It's beautiful, aqua blue water, white sand. And then in September, on September 2nd to 8th, I have the power of sound. Good vibrations transforming your life. Sound as the universal language. And that's with dolphins and training in sound healing. And then for the first-timers who would like to be with dolphins and never have before and want to know all the basics, I have an introduction to dolphins in September. So there are many different, there's quite a variety, and then the if any people, any of the listeners feel they're drawn to make contact with the wise ones with me, those are listed on the website. I don't put them in the brochure because that's, I just ask that people write in and tell me about their background and why they think they would like to be with the Sasquatch or the wise ones, and then I write back directly to the person. So that's, yeah, thank you.
Okay, listeners, for the U.S. toll-free call-in number, if there's anybody out there that'd like to call in and ask any questions with Joan, the number is 1-877-270-8714. That's the U.S. toll-free call-in number, 1-877-270-8714. And for the people in Canada listening, if you'd like to call in, the number is 1-888-861-3519. For any listeners in Canada, the number is 1-888-861-3519. And the alternate line is 1-530-413-4515. 530-413-4515. So if there's anybody listening out there and you'd like to call in, the lines are open. Our show tonight is with June Ocean. So if you want to call in and ask June any questions, she'll be more than happy to answer your questions if there's something about the whales or the dolphins or the Sasquatch or Star Sisters and Brothers. Just give us a call. Okay, June. Go right ahead, my dear. What else? You're doing awesome.
Well, you know, I still wanted to say a little more about those dolphins because they've been such leaders for me, and it's because of my work with them that I'm able now to telepathically communicate with the Sasquatch. I remember when I sat around the fire out in the woods and the Sasquatch came around unseen in the darkness, except you could hear their footsteps, which is makes your heart beat a little fast because it's a very heavy footstep coming and groups of them coming through the leaves there. And I put out the image to them in the way the dolphins had taught me. I made an acoustic image or I made an image in my mind of myself bringing a group, small group of people to meet them. And it was my way of asking the Sasquatch, would this be okay or not? Because I wouldn't do it unless they okayed it, of course. And I was telling them, you know, I'm not afraid to do this because, look, I swim with the dolphins. So I sent a picture to them of me with the dolphin pod. You know, there's like 200 dolphins and they're all around me. And what came back to me telepathically from them was kind of, well, yes, you know, that's very nice and all, but, you know, the dolphins, they're loved by your society and they're about the same size as you are and they can do funny tricks and all, so it's different than bringing people to meet us. So I said, yeah, I guess that's true. So then next I thought, I know what. So then I put out the image of me swimming with the humpback whales, you know, 50 foot long, huge, with barnacles all over them and protuberances growing out of their head and bumpy and big out there in the ocean, which is, you know, not my natural environment, or maybe it is, but... And so I showed them that I swam with the humpback whales. And then it felt like what came back was kind of a, well, that's pretty good. It felt like they were responding to that. And so I said, so would it be all right or would you rather not have anyone come? And I waited and I held the picture of me with people sitting with me, small group around the fire. And then all of a sudden they sent back this picture, the same one I had sent them. But now between each person in the circle, there was a Sasquatch, a wise one, sitting with us, joining us in the circle. And in that way, they let me know that, yes, they would like to meet with certain people who are ready, who will not be afraid. And I really gave thanks to the dolphins for all their teachings, because I send out and communicate with the Sasquatch the same way I've done for all these 25 years with the dolphins, and the same way we do it with the star people. And, you know, I encourage people to do that. So often people discount what they experience. They think, oh, I'm making it up, it's not true. And it's time to value it, because we can do this, and we are doing it. We do it a lot with our loved ones, with our pets, with our cats and dogs. We can do it, and we are. So, yeah, I wanted to mention that. And I think the other interesting thing always about the dolphins, you know, and the dolphin physiology, because as a scientist, I do study that too, and that the dolphins take, every breath they take is by choice. They're conscious breathers. They don't breathe automatically like the human race does. They choose every breath, and they can hold their breath or actually stop breathing for a half hour when they dive down underwater. And then they need to be awake all the time to keep breathing. You cannot give a dolphin anesthesia. You cannot put a dolphin to sleep, or the dolphin won't breathe and will die. So that's interesting that they choose every breath. And also, they can dive very deeply, well, about 500 feet, and they don't get the bends. Well, how do they do that? Because if a human dives deeply, you get the bends, you get bubbles in your bloodstream, and you get very ill or you die. Well, they seem to know some way of making all the organs in their body compact so that they don't get any air bubbles inside, and they can dive down. And if you see footage of them diving down, it's fascinating because their outer skin is all loose and rippling in the water. And their inner parts are compacted. And in that way, they don't get the bends. So they also teach us a lot about endurance swimming. I mean, I swim with them for 4 and 5 hours at a time with the pod. These, of course, are free-swimming wild dolphins. And somehow, when you're with them, you don't get tired out. You can go on and on. And part of it is because they let you swim in their slipstream or their water flow field, just like they do with the baby dolphins. And it carries you along, and suddenly you can swim like a dolphin. It feels really good.
Wow.
They have a great sense of humor, and so do the Sasquatch. The Sasquatch have played a lot of jokes on us. They're always making us laugh. And the dolphins, too. The dolphins, we play a leaf game with the dolphins that's developed here. People bring, well, it started with the dolphins just finding leaves from trees floating in the water, like after a windy night or something. And they would decorate their fins and their dorsal fin and their tail and even their rostrum, their nose, with leaves and swim along that way. And then they would shake a leaf off and we would be swimming next to them and we'd be able to catch the leaf. So this started this game of diving and catching the leaf and then diving down and giving it back, and we'd go back and forth. Well, one morning I was playing that game with, let's see, who was it? I think it was with Singer, the dolphin named Singer, and he was letting the leaf go, and I was catching it, and I'd dive down and drop it in the deep water and then come up for air, and a dolphin would go down and get it. And all of a sudden, I came up for air, and I looked down to see him catch the leaf, and I couldn't see the leaf anymore. And the dolphin's circling around beneath me, and looks like he's looking too, and we're both looking, and I'm thinking, where's the leaf? Where'd it go? I just put it down there. Where is it? And the dolphin's looking and looking, can't find it. And slowly he starts to float up next to me, float up real slow at a certain angle. And when he gets right next to me, he like rolled slowly to one side, and he had the leaf plastered against his belly underneath him, hiding it there so I couldn't see it. So they play a lot of games with us, and anything to bring joy. It's very, very special. I work with an organization. I'm on the board of directors of an organization that brings women to swim with the dolphins, women who have been abused mainly. This is Mariska Hargitay, who is the star of Law & Order, the TV special called Special Victims Unit, where on the TV show for years, she's won as best actress year after year for her starring role on that program. And on that show, there she is helping women who have been abused. And so many people called her and asked her, you know, in real life to help them. And so she has started this foundation and brings people here to Hawaii to meet the dolphins and be healed by the dolphins. And so I help her with that, the dolphin part of that. And it's amazing to see the changes that people go through from this experience, from being immersed in that much love, in that much harmony. Some people think that the dolphin sounds are, you know, what are they saying? People are trying to interpret it and translate it. You know, are they speaking French? Are they speaking Spanish? Or if you slow it down or speed it up, or what they're going to say? And certainly they are conveying messages to each other and to us. But I think the main point about what they're doing with their sounds in the water is that they are creating harmony. They are putting sounds in the water that brings harmony to the environment and to everyone in it. And that's why people feel so much joy when they swim alongside them. In the same way, they are using that infrasound, just like the Sasquatch can, to create love in their environment.
And again, well, the whales are doing the same thing, aren't they?
Oh, the whales, absolutely. The whales are such a huge field of consciousness, so big. I have a picture because, you know, I gave a talk at that orbs conference, and one of them was of this huge orb above a whale. I mean, it was bigger than a football field, the orb above the whale. I was from a distance, and you could just see the whale spouting and this huge field of energy. The whales are phenomenal. One look into the eye of a whale, and here I swim with the sperm whales are here year-round. Now, that's the largest brain on planet Earth. They're just really massive and very, very powerful, very profound to be with them and to look into their eye. I mean, we can't even imagine the worlds that they travel in. They're so vast. And, of course, here we have the pilot whales and the false killer whales and the melonhead whales and the pygmy whales, many different whales here that we swim with. And even with sharks, on occasion, the sharks sometimes travel with the pilot whales in particular. And the sharks here have been befriended by the Hawaiian people and even fed fish and things. And so just in this location, there is some safety in swimming with them. They are not aggressive. I don't recommend that to people for other locations, but here they are the amakua, or the spirit animal, for some of the Hawaiian families. So there are whales here year-round, and, of course, the beautiful humpbacks come just during mating and birthing season. So, yeah, very complex brains. They never sleep. They forgive everything. I mean, look what's been done to them, fishing nets and sounds in the water and pollution in the water, and yet they come to us and they give us love.
And they still try to help.
That is unconditional love. That is the true meaning of unconditional love.
Definitely. Well, June, my dear, we've gone over about 15 minutes, so I thank you, Don, for giving us this extra time for June to get all this important information out to the people. And June, dear, so thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Juliana.
Your message was awesome, girl. And keep in touch. Anytime you want to come back and get your message across for the Sasquatch, the whale, the dolphin, you got it. And
all right. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Your information was so incredible. And people, if the information that June gave out to you regarding her website and any of her contact numbers or anything, if you didn't get a chance to write it down, just go to my show information page where all of Joan's information will be located. And I'll keep the page up for you for a couple more days so you can get on there and get all the information on Joan. Buy some of her books. They're awesome. They have so much interest and information. It's great gifts for your kids. It's great gifts for anybody. So learn more. Learn all you can about the wonderful whales and dolphins and about the Sasquatch. Hey, just because somebody don't look like you don't mean we're not all the same. We're all one. We all have the same needs. We're all looking for love. And thanks again, Joan. I greatly appreciate it all. And on our next week's show, my special guest is going to be Sheldon Neidel, who's the founder of the Planetary Activation Organization, known as PAO, and is the Earth Liaison for the Galactic Federation. And it's going to be a great show, and it's a very informative show about our star sisters and brothers, so please don't miss this important information. And dear souls, thank you all for listening. And we've come to the end of another show. Bless you all. Thank you for listening. I say thank you so very, very much, Don, and the whole BBS staff, for helping us get this most important information out to the world that's really needed right now. Be kind to one another. Be compassionate with one another. Most of all, respect one another. Doesn't matter what you look like. Doesn't matter where you live. Doesn't matter what you have. Doesn't matter what you do for a living. We're all one. We all deserve respect. We all deserve compassion, and we all need love. I'm going to close with a prayer that I wrote. I like to call it my prayer. It's a prayer that I will say up until the last breath I take on planet Earth. As I walk this journey of life, may I walk in humble gratitude and peace. May I never forget my blessings. May I never forget to be kind. May I never forget to be patient and understanding. May I always have the gift of giving and receiving love. May I always take time to see God's beauty and never take for granted my most special gift, life. For at the end of my journey, it would fill my heart with joy to look back from where I came and discover I have spread peace, given love, was grateful, respectful, and humble to all of God's creations. June, dear souls, thanks again. Thank you for sharing all your important information with us. And about the whales, the dolphins, the Sasquatch. Thank you, dear heart. Don,
thank you so much. Thank you.
Thanks again. Chief Wyman, thank you. Thank you for your beautiful music. Better choose to open the show and close the show every night. It touches our hearts and souls. Thank you for your music. And I thank you, Christopher, for all the work you've done, helping me put this show together and get it out to the people. And I thank you all, Deb, Melissa, Bruce, Bob, Karen, the whole Hesselbach family. Thank you from the bottom of my heart for listening, and thank you for all you've done getting me to this country. I thank you. I thank you again, Jimmy family, for listening. Bless you all. To all my Caribbean friends, God bless you. Thank you for listening. Bless you all abundantly. And I say good night, sweet dreams, dream of peace and love throughout the world. Please always remember, dear souls, we are all one. No matter what shape or color, as I said before, we are all here on a special mission and purpose. And no one is greater or less in the sight of the Great Spirit, God, whatever you want to give the name to God with. We're all God's creation. I love you all. Peace and love. Good night. Big hugs. Much love to everyone. Sweet dreams, dear souls. Dream of love. Peace be with you. Good night. Thank you, June.
From beyond.